everybody. What is up? Welcome to the Unscripted Unlimited podcast. I am, of course, your host for tonight's episode, Doug Hummer. And joining me tonight is Karen. Karen, how you doing?
Good. Good, Doug. How are you?
Pretty good. So tonight's episode, we're doing a character retrospective on Tony DeNoto from NCIS. But first, I feel like, you know, because we've been doing this every week since the show started, we're going to talk a little bit of Big Brother. Karen, you were just bringing it up to me before we got started. And the Blind Side this past week, Amira went home. She was the mastermind behind Pooch being evicted, which made a lot of the guys think, all right, no, we got to send this girl home. And it was like everybody was expecting Taylor to go up on the block. Turner, who was the HOH, who, to be honest with you, up until, you know, the point of the anti-bullying speech, which I think really got edited, or like heavy edited, up until the point of the bully speech, Turner to me just looked like a guy that basically just got pulled out of a pot store.
Yeah.
He
did.
And, but, you know, he stepped up. He made this speech, which apparently he also made a speech. He also told Daniel, like, right before the veto meeting, he's like, just so you know, like, Taylor's not going up because I'm sick of the way she's being treated and I don't want to send her home, you know, after everything that's gone down, because I'm afraid of what she's going to do to herself.
That's very true. That poor girl, she was a mess. And you know what? I loved how, and even Amir stuck up for Taylor, because Nicole and Daniel were so mean to her, and it wasn't even warranted because the girl was just trying to extend a handout in friendship to help her, because she was sitting there crying over the fact that she was going to have to throw a veto competition. Like, really? Like, you're in this for the game. Like, why are you, like, you do what you have to do. And if you're going to be that upset over having to throw a game, then you shouldn't be there playing the game anyway.
Right. And it's just, it to me, and at first I actually liked Daniel and Nicole. And what's funny is that, like, the fantasy Big Brother, Eric, Daniel, Sharon, and I are kind of doing, like, this fantasy Big Brother thing. We each got a team, and Nicole's on my fantasy team. So, like, obviously, like, I'm supposed to root for her to win, but now, even though I'm about 40 points in the hole because I've lost two team members, I wouldn't mind losing another one. Like, I want to see Nicole go home before jury.
Yeah. Yep. I agree.
Because she is absolutely going nuts right now. And do you keep up on the live feeds?
I am not yet. I'm going to, either tonight or tomorrow, I'm going to purchase the Paramount Plus so I can watch the live feed.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, because, you know, they did the veto competition today. I know who won the veto because I just saw it in because I'm in, like, three different Big Brother groups.
I didn't even know who won head of household.
You want me to tell you?
Yeah.
All right, Monty's had a household.
Monty. Oh, okay. I like Monty. He was the first one to be like, yo, dude, they're like, Taylor did nothing wrong.
Well, the whole mistreatment of Taylor, you know, from the beginning of the season started with a misunderstanding, actually started with him because he went and told Paloma something that Taylor told him, but he completely screwed up the words.
Plus, the girls were like, oh, look at Taylor. She doesn't bother to talk to us. She just hangs out with the guys. Look at her over there chumming up to the guys. And they were all being, like, jealous, ridiculous. So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that petty. It was just pettiness that created this whole situation.
Right. So now, Monty's the HOH. The original, or like the noms he put up were Indy and Alyssa.
Okay.
So
who
they went up.
Mandy and Alyssa?
Indy and Alyssa.
Okay, Andy. Okay.
Indy's the girl from Brazil.
Okay.
The blonde girl. And
yes.
And Alyssa is
fine.
Yeah. And Alyssa is the one who has a crush on her, who is trying to get into a showmance with that Kyle.
The one, she's got blonde hair also.
Yeah.
Really pretty
yeah.
girl.
Oh, she's dropped behind. She is the second most beautiful woman in that house behind Taylor.
Behind Taylor. Oh, see, okay. I don't think Taylor is that pretty. I think that Alyssa is prettier, but, you know, that's just a matter of taste. And
well,
I'm a woman.
I mean,
what do I need to do?
I mean, to be honest with you, I like them both. Like, I don't want to see, you know, I personally don't want to see Alyssa go, but so they had the veto competition today of, I don't know, do you want me to spoil it for you or?
Oh, I don't care. Yeah.
Kyle and Daniel won the veto.
Kyle and Daniel. Okay.
So, Daniel is a little nervous, as is Nicole, because Nicole's got a feeling that if her and Taylor go up, because of what happened last week, people are going to start to feel sorry for Taylor and send Nicole home.
Yes.
And Daniel's worried about that too.
As he should.
So, I mean, they got a couple of days to sit on it, but according to what I read, like, both Festy Besties don't have to agree to use the video. Only one has to agree to use it.
Gotcha. Okay.
So
that makes sense.
But so that's what's going on right now. And I got to tell you, and I swear I'm starting to feel like Eric when it comes to all this Big Brother stuff, because I know he listened. He used to listen to a lot of Big Brother podcasts.
Yes, he's like a fanatic of Big Brother.
Yeah, and we're becoming that way.
I always go to him. Yeah.
We're becoming that way because this is becoming like a Big Brother household.
I'm sure. I've been a Big Brother. I had stopped watching it for many years, and Eric's the one who got me back to watching it. I think back in season 11, I think it was, with Brittany and Hayden. Hayden won that year.
Oh, that was 12.
Yes, 12. I've been watching it ever since then. So,
yeah.
Me and Eric would text each other during the show.
Yeah,
we text each other.
Yeah, he texts Daniel and I a lot during the show. And he'll be like, oh, you know, he'll say something like when the blind side happened, he was just like, holy shit. Like they actually, you know, went through with it. And I mean, I personally, I felt bad for Amira, but when they voted Amira out and I saw Nicole and Alyssa's jaws drop to the floor.
I know.
Yeah.
Alyssa was so upset.
Well, yeah, because she lost somebody she was very close to in the house. And what's funny is that Amira did an exit interview because there's a podcast with the Cody from season 16. He does it with Derek, who won that year. It's called The Winner Circle. And Cody did a short exit interview with Amira yesterday.
Yeah.
Either yesterday or today, but he said they're going to do like a full interview with her within like the next couple of days, but they want to get her, you know, time to settle in because, you know, she's hasn't really had much time to sleep yet or whatever, or however they said it. But, you know, he asked Amira because, you know, the first thing, you know, they've been asking any house guest that's been evicted so far, well, except for Paloma, is, what about the treatment of Taylor?
And what do most of them say?
Well, Pooch, when Pooch got evicted, Pooch said, he's like, I want to be friends with Taylor outside the house. He goes, I mean, I couldn't be friends with Taylor inside the house because everybody was just targeting her and it would have put a target on my back. He goes, but I personally like Taylor and I would like to be friends with her.
Yeah.
And Amira said that she actually had a conversation with Taylor and like she apologized. She said nobody should have to go through, like, especially after what Nicole and Daniel did. She's like, nobody should have to go through what you just went through.
Yeah, you could see that she really felt bad for her.
Yeah.
You could see that for sure.
Yeah. And who also is part of this whole the Winner's Circle podcast team, because she actually follows the live feeds, is Tiffany from last year.
Oh, okay.
And I did not like her at all during the season last year. But it's amazing how, like, my perception of somebody changes once they're out of the house.
Right.
Cause,
I believe that.
Because I was listening, or I was watching, because it was a YouTube video, she interviewed Brittany from last year. Now, Brittany, the girl who she desperately wanted out of the house. Like, she had been trying to get it done for, like, several weeks and then finally got her out. But the two of them were talking. They were the best of friends during this whole interview.
Oh, wow. Now, Tiffany, did she win?
No, she was actually the first member of the cookout that got evicted.
Oh, okay. All right. She was a bitch, though. I didn't like her either. I agree with you. She was awful.
Yeah. But now it's just like, but again, it's funny how people change outside of the house.
Yeah.
Like, just watching. Yeah. Just watching her and Brittany just kind of interact with each other. It's like their interactions on this podcast are nothing like the interactions they have with each other in the house.
I believe that.
So, you know, and I've been kind of getting into those podcasts. So, Eric, wherever you are, if you're listening to this, damn you.
Where is he?
You scheduled him to work tonight.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. That's on me. Yes.
But anyway, all right. So the Big Brother right now is getting, I think it's getting really good. And if they do this plan, if they backdoor Nicole and Taylor and get Nicole out of the house, and Daniel would be partially the reason why, because he would be the one to use the veto. Well, him and Kyle. I cannot wait to see the explosion.
Yes.
But,
I agree.
All right. So our topic for tonight is we're doing a character retrospective on NCIS very special agent, Anthony DeNoza. Now, he was a staple of the NCIS series for, I think, 13 seasons, right, Karen?
Yes. I think it is 13 seasons. Because
okay.
I think he was 5 seasons on Bull.
So 13 seasons. He was actually my favorite. Well, him and Gibbs were my favorite characters on the show. But DeNoza, you know, he's very, he came off in the early seasons. He's very arrogant, very cocky. He thought he was a ladies' man. But he also had his sentimental moments. And the relationship he had with a lot of the other agents, especially Ziva, and that whole thing for the, I think like 7 seasons that Ziva was on, their chemistry was just, was fantastic. And it's just like, you were wondering, will they, won't they, when are they?
I loved how they developed the relationship between the two of them.
Yeah.
I really did. It was a slow it evolved very slowly, but like one of my favorite seasons is the season that she is when especially him, he goes looking for her after they were all split up and she was in that explosion in Egypt and then she was on that ship and they go to Africa to rescue her. McGee and him and Gibbs. That's one of my favorite seasons and how he just is there for her and doesn't give up.
Yeah. No, I love that too. Like I love that whole episode when they brought her back from, you know, the ship or whatever, or, you know, when they were captured and DeNozzo was getting the shit beat out of him almost the entire episode. Then Gibbs, Gibbs took,
and he's trying to tell that guy, well, you know, it's okay. You're not going to get out of here alive. And, you know, he's telling him all this stuff. He's like, what are you talking about? Blah, blah, blah. And Gibbs gets him right between the eyes. That was great. And then they find her and like, she can't believe that he did all of that for her.
Right. And then I remember Abby just telling Ziva, she's like, look, you realize what Tony risked for you?
Yeah.
Like you really need to step up to the plate, you know, because Tony risked his life to save you. And, like, that whole season, because I think there was season 7, and that whole season was kind of like a turning point, I think, because, you know, she started becoming a member. She was Ziva became like a full-fledged member of the team. There was a lot of stuff going on because that's when I forgot the Colonel Bell, I think, was the character's name. He was played by Robert Patrick. He started kind of coming in during that season because he was actually he was working for somebody that was trying to get to Gibbs. And Bell and a lawyer were like doing everything they could to, you know, kind of, you know, screw with Gibbs and the team. Cause that was shortly before like Paloma Reynosa, came in, the daughter of Pedro Hernandez, the drug dealer that, killed Gibbs's family. And then Gibbs killed him.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and then, but no, like with Tony, and he's been involved in like a lot of, a lot of different, you know, storylines and all that. And every time, I loved it every time he had to go back to Baltimore to visit the old precinct.
Yes. I love like, those two.
Yeah.
And I love the way he tortured McGee. And then, and his Robert Wagner as his father. It was great. He Tony evolved. He was pretty much a very shallow womanizer. And then as the years went by, you saw the character get a little deeper and deeper and more complicated. And, you know, like when he was the doctor undercover for the director. What was the director's name?
Oh, for Jenny Shepherd, when he was with John Benoit.
Yes. And he was with Dr. Benoit, yes. That was crazy. That was a good, except that it was very sad the way Jenny Shepherd died.
Right, yeah.
And they found
him and Ziva like, found him. Right, and then, like, when, like, the episode where, like, it was the beginning of the 5th season and Trent Court blew up Tony's car, and they thought Tony was in there. And the whole team was was mourning him, and you know, Gibbs is trying to find out from the director Shepherd. It's just like, what the hell were you trying to have him do? And then when Abby found out that, you know, it wasn't Tony's body in that car, And she told Gibbs, he's just like, all right, so you're telling me that's not Dinozzo, you know, on Ducky's table? And she goes, no, it's not. And then Tony shows up, and it was along the lines of something like he showed up, and then Trent Court showed up, and then Trent Court grabbed Dinozzo, and everybody pulled their gun on Trent Court, and they're like, try it, and we'll shoot you.
Oh, he was one you love to hate, Trent Court.
Oh, my
for sure.
God. I was so happy when they finally put the bullet in him.
I know, right? So was I. I'm like, thank God, finally.
Yeah.
Please,
it was like, I mean, it was like, you know, eight seasons too late, but like they should have got rid of his ass right away. I could never stand him. And Dinozzo hated him too. And like, I remember in Dinozzo's last season when Trent Court made a comment about Zita, Dinozzo went after him and he looked at Gibbs and said, are you going to call your attack dog off me? And he's like, no. Gibbs is just like, I ain't gonna do shit. Or like, I also remember when Tony was trying to prove his father's innocence.
Yes.
When they thought that Senior had killed that sailor, and you know, Dinozzo ignored orders from both Gibbs and Vance, and basically, you know. And did his own little investigation, and Vance looked at Gibbs and said, all right, so what are we going to do about our other little problem? And Gibbs like, what problem? He goes, Agent Dinozzo disobeyed orders from both of us. He goes, what are we going to do? And Gibbs goes, nothing. And Vance is like, yeah, I figured.
I know. And then when those episodes, when, Ziva's father was in town and they were having that like little convention of old timers and somebody was trying to kill Ziva's father. Remember that one? And it was, it was Gibbs's old boss. Wasn't it his old boss that was the guilty one?
I think it was, he was the head of the team at one point. I can't remember his name, but I do remember him. He was the guilty one, and I remember Vance taking him out.
Yes.
And I just remember, like, with Dinozzo, too. And, you know, Dinozzo, he didn't just have a good relationship with Diva. Like, the brother relationship he had with McGee, like, even though he loved to torture McGee,
oh, they were very close.
Yeah.
They were really close.
The brother relationship he had. And then the short time he was, he was there with Bishop. I mean, he also kind of developed a relationship with Bishop, too.
Well, and I liked his relationship with Kate.
Yeah, I thought, and it's funny, too. Like, remember that one episode they did where Gibbs was reflecting on a lot of the choices in his life?
Yes.
When the kid pulled the gun on him in the diner.
Yes.
And they showed the scenario to where, like, you know, what if they would have saved Kate? And, like,
yes.
they showed the scenario of, like, if Kate would not have died, then her and Dinozzo would have gotten married and had kids.
Remember when he got sick? Dinozzo got sick.
Yeah, from the poisoning or whatever, right?
And Kate was in there too, but she didn't get sick. And the two of them were isolated.
when they got anthrax.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, and like one of my favorite, like sentimental scenes with Dinozzo is when they had the kid from the kid that he saved from the fire, you know, in Baltimore like years earlier. came in and he was with the, he was an arson investigator. And, you know, he didn't, and I can't remember the kid's name off the top of my head, but, he had this resentment towards Tony because Tony could have saved him, but not his sister. And,
God, I can't believe I can't remember. It's my old age.
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank on the guy's name or on the character's name. But Ziva and McGee asked him, they're like, you know, what happened? And, you know, he went through, like, the whole story, and he's like, you know, Final Four was in town. I was going for a jog, and I saw this burning building, so I went in there, and I saved this kid. And I couldn't save his sister. And Gibbs looked at the newspaper article, and Gibbs looked at Donoso and said, hey, you helped. Others didn't.
Yeah.
And he looks at Gibbs and says, I know. He goes, good. Now go do your job like I told you to. And then towards the end of the episode, the guy or the arson investigator was getting ready to leave, and he was still mad at Donoso. And Gibbs looks at Donoso and he goes, Donoso. And he goes, he still doesn't see it, boss. And he goes, help him. So Tony went over and talked to him and kind of made amends with him. And that was like one of my favorite, sentimental moments Tony's. I mean, cause he had a lot of sentimental moments, but he also had some real funny ones. Like episode where he had to sneak into a closet to talk to Delilah about like a case or something. And he's in the closet. He turns on the light, and he's like right in front of a cardboard cutout of him. And it scared the hell out of him. And then Gibbs opens up the door, goes, Donoso, what are you doing? He goes, boss, I was just trying to find myself. And he grabbed the cardboard cutout.
Yes, and he was always smacking him on the up the back of the head.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean,
there was so many episodes, like just so many of them. When Ziva first came and he was like following her because she was the sister. She was a half sister to the guy that killed Kate.
Yeah. Ari.
What was his name?
Ari.
Yes. Because that whole Ari thing was crazy. And then remember also when the other guy took them to California, and that's when NCIS Los Angeles started, when what's-his-name got shot, G, got shot like five times. And Ziva was involved with that Israeli guy. Yes, and they were following him around, and Tony and her were fighting because Tony was jealous because she was having a relationship with that guy. And you could see the jealousy there. It was more that he was afraid for her than he was that he was jealous.
Right.
He was afraid for her. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause he really did care about her. And it's, and it's funny too, because, their relationship, I mean, there was a lot of, will they or won't they? But I remember, when he was, when they were kind of going through that thing where they had, when they were trying to find, I think it was the port-to-port killer, and they were working with Barrett and her team, and, Ziva...
Her guys died then too, were killed.
Yeah. And then Ziva was also dating that Ray Cruz. But you could also tell that even though Ziva was dating Ray Cruz and Donoso was dating EJ Barrett, Donoso and Tony and Ziva's loyalties still lied with each other.
Yes, they did. They did, for sure.
Like when Mike Franks died and everybody just kind of broke down and you saw Tony and Ziva and Gibbs and McGee have like this big group hug because, you know, Mike Franks, he was like, he wasn't necessarily close with them, but he
was a big part of the story.
Yeah. He was a big part of the story because he's part of Gibbs' history.
Yes, he was. He definitely was.
But, like, sometimes, too, like, I remember an episode where Mike Franks was involved and he was hiding, him and Layla and Amira were hiding out at Gibbs' house, and Gibbs sent Donoso and Ziva to babysit or to watch over Layla and Amira so Franks can go to the NCIS. And he looks at, they go, or Donoso tries to come in, and Franks looks like he was going to attack him. And he's like, Mike, what are you doing? And he's like, Donoso, why didn't you lock? Or why didn't you knock? And he goes, why would I knock? There's no lock on the door. And he goes, why are you standing here with a gun? He goes, of course I'm standing here with a gun. There's no lock on the door. And then Donoso looks at him and says, nice to see you, Mike. Have a mint. And it's just like,
oh my God.
Donoso was freaking hilarious.
And then when,
remember he did a guest spot on Los Angeles.
Yes.
And
yes, he did. Did he do one on New Orleans too? Or was that McGee?
No, that was, I think, Bishop, because that was a crossover, I think.
Yes, he did do a crossover with New Orleans. Because I watch all three. I watched all three. New Orleans is over. I also remember when they split them up and they had Lee and the other two agents, and that Zenosa was on a boat up in Alaska or something.
Yeah, he was the agent afloat or whatever.
Yes, he was up there. They had sent him up there. That was crazy, too. But he wasn't always as shallow as people thought he was.
No, not at all.
He was really good. He was really good at what he did. He was a good agent.
Yeah.
And his colors were so.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too, is that, like, you know, he started off, he was the shallow, you know, kind of playboy. And I remember when he had to work with his former fiance, that reporter. And I remember Ducky just kind of getting into it, you know, talking to him, and he's just like, you know, kind of does a profile on him. And Tony just looks at Ducky and says, you know, when Wendy called me the night before the wedding and said she was calling it off, I didn't take it very well. And like, you could kind of see, like, when he opened up to people, which wasn't very often, but I mean, he's opened up to just about every one of the agents.
Yeah.
And Gibbs was always very protective of him too. Like when, the episode where it was the start of season 9 and he was in the hospital because he was involved in a shooting, but he couldn't remember anything. And it was actually Kate's sister, because she was the psychiatrist that the team used for a while.
Yeah.
Which I don't even know. Does she still pop up or no?
She hasn't been on for a while. She hasn't been on for a while.
Yeah, so like when she was at the hospital with him, she's trying to, you know, figure out, because she's trying to help him remember exactly like what happened. And then because Gibbs, you know, for a while, like if they needed, you know, psychiatric evaluations to get, you know, to get the team back, you know, back on the field, he would usually call her.
Yeah. No, now they have, he had a different therapist. She was I can't remember her name, in real life, but she was she played Julia Roberts' friend on Pretty Woman.
Well, I know they have a different psychiatrist now. I think the actress's name is Laura San Giacomo.
Okay.
Okay. You're talking about Dr. Grace, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I saw.
But Gibbs is awesome.
Yeah.
And it's weird without him on the show.
I know. Do you think he'll come back for the 20th season, or is he like completely done?
I think he's completely done. He had his wife on the show the last few episodes that he was on. She played a character, Pam Dauber.
Yeah, I remember seeing that again. Like, I haven't really watched like a full like newer episode of NCIS in a while. But like I said, I had been kind of keeping up with like clips on YouTube, so I know like the storyline. Now I kind of want to get back into it because I like the actor that plays Parker.
Yes, and Parker is getting involved with the new agent that has taken Bishop's place. So that's Parker isn't
Parker's the head of the team. Palmer's the one getting involved with Palmer's the one dating
Palmer, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, you like Parker? Yeah,
I do.
He's a good guy.
Yeah. I do, because I think because I've always found the actor that plays him, Gary Cole, to be kind of funny.
Yeah, I like Gary Cole. I like where Palmer's character has gone to.
Yeah, that's that's funny too. And I love the fact that like they brought Ducky back for a few episodes this past season.
Yes, they bring Ducky back here and there. He does special appearances.
Yeah. So, like, it's just funny, like, because you could tell how old the actor is getting.
Yes.
So, like.
He's up there for sure.
Yeah. But, no, I mean, he's, like, to me, like, he's actually the only one left of, like, the original. Well, I mean, because McGee didn't really start, you know. He started kind of, you know, coming in season one. He was a recurring character, but, you know, he started being a main character in season two.
Yes.
And then, but, yeah, no, and then I'm trying to think of other Tony moments that I really like. The one episode where... him and Ziva had to go undercover as an assassin couple.
Yes.
And like they got caught, or they didn't get caught. Like they were the assassins, and like they were getting beat up, and Tony's nose was broken or whatever. Like he took an ass kicking, but
okay.
But yeah, so then, but like, what is your all time favorite like DeNozzo moment?
My favorite moment, I think, has to be, in the episode where he finally. My mind went blank. When he saves, what's her name?
Ziva.
Oh my God, I can't believe I just went blank. I just kept thinking of Kate. Ziva. And I kept thinking of her, Cody DePalma, her real name. Yes, when he saves Ziva in Africa after Gibbs got the simoleon and she sees him and they see each other, and you can just tell that look in their eyes. You know what I mean? And he's so relieved to see her alive. That was my favorite moment.
Yeah, I think my favorite moment for him was like when he avenged what happened to his former partner in Baltimore.
Okay.
And like, yeah, when him and Gibbs had to go and arrest like his former boss.
Yes. Yes.
Like they were bringing him in, and I remember McGee looked at Ziva and said, "Can you imagine having to arrest Gibbs?" And she looks at McGee and she goes, "I would rather arrest my father, which I may have to do one of these days."
Yes, yes. Also, I think another favorite moment was when he said he has a daughter from Ziva, that they created a daughter together and he meets her.
Yeah. And then like, what about like when she called him, or like when she like realized who he was, or like when the daughter realized who he was, because she looked at that picture of the two of them together and her and of Ziva and Tony together. And she goes, "Ima and I think Abba or something like that."
Yeah.
And he looks at the little girl, looks at Tali and says, "What did you say?" He goes, "Abba." And he repeats it, and Senior looks at him and says, "Daddy." And then like you could tell it's like right then that he knew that, you know, she really
that
is my daughter. She knows who I am.
Yes.
And Senior was great too.
Okay.
The interactions that Tony had with his father were always really good too.
Oh my God, his dad drove him crazy. I loved it. I loved it. I loved the interactions.
Yeah.
His dad was such a con artist.
Yeah, and then like when Gibbs would get involved, like I remember when Senior was going to get married and he was trying to figure out a way to tell Tony. And Tony's just like, I have to avoid him. And Gibbs is like, "No, go talk to your father." He goes, "I'd rather not, boss." He goes, "I don't care. Go talk to your father."
Yes. And was Tony still on when they did the thing with Palmer's father-in-law? And Palmer's father-in-law and Tony's dad, they were all mixed up. Wasn't that?
I don't remember. I mean, I've only seen Palmer's father-in-law once.
Yes.
And that was on the Christmas episode of.
Yeah.
When, or it was his future father-in-law at the time. And that was the Christmas episode where they had to go get the pregnant Marine.
Yes. But there was another episode where his father-in-law got messed up with some shenanigans, like some, it was crazy. And Tony's dad was involved, was also connected with the person that died. And Palmer's father-in-law was connected, and they had to figure it all out and fix it. So, and find the answers and find the killer so that they could clear his father-in-law's name. I remember that episode vaguely. There were so many episodes, like, there's 20 seasons now, isn't there?
Yeah, well, they're heading into 20.
Yeah, we're in season 19. Well,
yeah.
It's so hard to keep up. Like you forget about episodes until you turn on the reruns and you go, "Oh, I remember this episode."
Yeah,
when
I was in Virginia, 4th of July weekend. We were at the hotel. It was like at night, or it was the night before we actually left Virginia, and we were at the hotel. And I happened to turn on the TV, and I forgot what channel it was on, but NCIS was on. And I was just like, "Okay, well, I'm gonna watch this." And they had it on for, it was like a Saturday marathon or something like that. And it was, one of the episodes was, they were working with the Coast Guard, the Coast Guard lady, Agent Boren. And DeNozzo was trying desperately to find Gibbs the perfect woman.
Okay.
And they found her, and Gibbs is like, yeah, I've already gone out on a date with her.
Like, yes, yes, yes.
Like, I've already done that.
Been there, done that.
Yeah. Tony is just one of those. I was sad to see him leave the show, obviously, because I kind of, you know, stopped watching it after.
Yes. Yes.
But you
know what else was funny, Doug?
What's that?
How he got the deal on his apartment because somebody had died in there.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes. It was from a case that they had done. And then he told her, turned around and sold it to McGee. When he was leaving, McGee got the apartment.
I remember that. I also remember, like, when at the start of season 11, when he was actually getting ready to go to Tel Aviv with Ziva, and a sniper tried to take him out.
Yes.
And then, like, Fornell picked up McGee off the side of the street and said, come on, you're coming with me. And they go into DeNozzo. Like, they meet DeNozzo and Vance in DeNozzo's apartment. And Fornell looks at DeNozzo and goes, man, who decorated this place? Martha Stewart? And
DeNozzo was very, a different side of DeNozzo.
Yeah, and DeNozzo goes, well, the towels are Martha. Everything else, you know. And then McGee goes, what the hell happened here? And he goes, Tim, I'm redecorating. I decided to go 20th century mob hit.
Okay, yes.
It was funny. Like that whole episode arc where they were transitioning from Ziva, and you know, when Tom Hanks's son had those was on for those couple episodes because he played that attorney Parsons.
Yes, I remember that. Yes, trying to find something to put him on. Yes.
Yeah, and then
I did not realize at the time that was Tom Hanks' son until he played in the other show with James Brolin.
Oh, Life in Pieces.
Yes, Life in Pieces. And I was like, okay, I know that guy. And then I read about it and saw that he was Tom Hanks' son.
Yeah, but yeah, so like DeNozzo just like, and again, like, we keep saying, as the seasons went on, like, he started getting, like, more sentimental, and he wasn't as
shallow, as
obnoxious as, you know, he was in the earlier. I mean, he was still funnier than hell.
Yeah.
Like, when they were searching for that Sergei Mishnev, or whatever the hell his name was, the Russian that was after Gibbs.
Yes. Yeah.
They were saying something like, Tony said something. He's like, yeah, it's kind of like, it's kind of the equivalent of a bullfighting on a trampoline. And it's just like, you know, they were trying to be so serious, but yet Tony, even when they were serious, would still kind of put those one-liners in there.
Yes.
And like, you couldn't help but laugh.
Exactly. Exactly.
But,
yeah.
Okay. So, you got anything else on Mr. DeNozzo?
No, that's about it. That actually was fun reminiscing. His new show, Bull, has been canceled. So now there's speculation. I've seen it on online that will he come back to NCIS, which would be interesting, even if it's for an episode or two. And maybe because supposedly he, after they had Ziva, because Ziva did come back, and it may be they will, supposedly she went to Paris to be with Genozo and Tully, and who knows, maybe they would have a thing where Genozo and Ziva and Tully come and visit Tim and Ducky and Palmer. That would be cool.
I mean, I would love to see it. I would love to see him come back. I don't think it would be for like a full, like, I don't think he would come back full time, but I do think he would come back for a couple of episodes.
I do too. Like Ziva did. Yes.
Yeah.
That would be very cool.
Yeah. And then, for but sure. like if he comes back, Gibbs would have to come back for like a couple episodes too.
I would think so. Yes. That would, it wouldn't be complete without Gibbs there too.
Yeah.
For sure.
So,
Doug, thank you for having me on. This was
fun. I appreciate you coming on because, you know, everybody else, if you wouldn't have come on, I would have been by myself tonight because Daniel is right now, he's doing research for an episode of his other podcast. By the way, make sure you check out the Stabcast tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern time. Daniel and Mindy, they're going to be they're going to be reviewing the new video game, The Quarry, which they're actually playing right now, which is one of the reasons, which is the reason why Daniel's not, you know, on the show with me.
And then I scheduled Eric to work. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But yeah, no, that's fine. I mean, if Eric weren't busy at work, he'd probably be bothering me about something. Although I am actually going to get him. I'm picking him up from work tonight because he's coming over to watch the fight.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. You guys have a good time. That's the wrestling?
No, it's well, wrestling is tonight, but we're actually not watching that. We're watching UFC's on tonight.
Oh, okay. Well, you guys have fun with that.
Yeah, we will. So,
that'll be fun.
But, yeah, so
all
make
right,
sure you
check.
Well, Karen, again, thank you very much for coming on. I appreciate it.
Yes, and I need to check out your other Did you announce the winners of the theme songs yet?
That is
on your
actually,
other podcast?
You know, it's actually funny. I'm glad you brought that up because that's actually next week's episode of this show.
Oh, okay.
So that'll
be
next.
I'll try to remember. I have to get Eric to remind me so I can listen to it.
Yeah.
For sure.
That'll be next. Next Saturday, obviously, you know, our regular scheduled time for our Saturday show is 7 p.m. Eastern time. So check that out next week on Unscripted Unlimited. We will be doing the top 10 best cartoon theme songs of all time countdown. We had a lot of ballots were turned in, and the results are I think very interesting. We actually had a couple of ties that were actually broken in tiebreaker polls. So,
okay.
One of which,
cool.
One tie actually had to be broken because there was a tie for the number 10 spot.
Right.
And then, which I'm not going to announce. I mean, everybody's going to listen to the show next week.
No, we got to listen next week.
But
I was doing ballads and Eric gave me a bunch of ballads and I passed around a bunch of ballads.
Well, I told him to. I told him, I said, pass out a bunch of ballads because I said to him right away, I said, make sure you give Karen a bunch of ballads so she could pass them out at home.
Yes, that's what I did.
Yeah,
that's what
so,
I did. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I got
so,
a bunch of people this time.
Yeah, so make sure you check that out next week. Unscripted Unlimited, 7 p.m. Eastern time, the top 10 best cartoon theme songs of all time. That's going to be next week. It'll be Daniel, Eric, and I, and then whoever else wants to come on, you know, just let me know and we'll get you on.
Okay.
And then also make sure you check out Boxman and Smart, the wrestling outlet, Wednesdays, mixer.com/wrestling outlet. Around 10:15, 10:20 Eastern time.
check them out tonight, 9:30 p.m. Eastern time for Hollywood Hangout, mixer.com/Hollywood Hangout. You'll check us out Fridays, 6:30 p.m. Eastern time for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast, blogtalkradio.com/everythingunscripted. This upcoming Friday night, we're going to be doing our War Drums, where we take a look back at the Monday Night Wars, and we're going all the way back to August 4th, 1997 to check out that episode of Raw and that episode of Nitro. So we're going to be banging the War Drums once again. Like I said, next Saturday for Unscripted Unlimited, top 10 best cartoon theme songs of all time. Tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern time, check out Daniel and Mindy for the Stabcast. They're going to be reviewing the video game The Quarry, which they are actually playing right now, because they need to get a feel for the game. And it's actually a very interesting game to play. I've seen Daniel play it. It looks, I mean, first of all, it's way too scary for me because I hate horror movies. But it is a very fun game, and so check them out. Also check out Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern time for the Web Cave. Daniel and Bobby, they're going to be doing another character face-off, a character debate. Bobby will be representing Iron Man, Tony Stark. Daniel will be representing Black Panther. And Sharon, Bobby's girlfriend Danielle, and I will be the judges. So it's going to be another character debate like it was last week. And also check out our buddy Sean on Elite Diplodoc on YouTube and Twitch. And then again, Karen, I appreciate the help.
You're welcome. It was fun.
It was a pleasure to have you on, and we'll talk to everybody soon. So,
Doug, have a good night.
All right, you too, Karen. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
All right. Bye-bye. Later, everybody.